Hello, I'm Brennan House with a very important special end of the year message. In 2016, we held the Worldview Weekend Rally free of charge in 10 cities and 10 nights. In 9 out of 10 cities, we had to bring out more chairs. We're planning to go to 23 cities with the free Worldview Weekend Rally in 2017. As you know, we produce many TV shows. But did you know that the TV show of Mike Abendroth, Justin Peters, Usama Dakdok, Tommy Ice, Mike Gendron, and Sharam Hadian, did you know that we don't charge them for that? We fly them in, we put them up in a hotel, we feed them, we film the program, we post-edit it, and we distribute it without charging them one dime. That's what we do. We set out a few years ago to become the world's premier biblical worldview radio and television network, and I think we've done that. The radio shows that we produce, such as Susan Heck's Bible Study for Ladies, we don't charge Susan for that. And the list goes on and on of our broadcasters for radio that we do not charge. So how do we pay for free radio, free TV shows, the production of them, the distribution of them, the bandwidth, the servers, the free radio and TV app, the free Roku channel, the free conferences, renting the hotel ballrooms? How do we pay for all that? One of three ways. Those of you that belong to the Worldview Weekend Situation Room, those of you that shop in our bookstore, and those that contribute to our Worldview Weekend Foundation. Did you know that 30% of our budget comes in every year, the last month of the year? That's why it's vital that we hear from you in the last month of this year with your year-end tax-deductible contribution to the Worldview Weekend Foundation. But you can also help us by shopping in our bookstore. We've expanded our bookstore with what we think are quality and necessary resources. Not only the traditional biblical resources that you're used to, but some new items we've added. You see, last year we had a substantial drop in our income as an organization. And we weren't sure for a while if we were going to be able to even offer free conferences, much less continue offering free television programs. We've tried in a very responsible way to generate the revenue necessary to cover free radio shows, TV shows, and free conferences. And that's why we're expanding our bookstore. You can do your shopping somewhere else. I know that. But when you shop with us, we think you're getting great resources that we're offering, as well as supporting our ministry. So we want to thank you for doing your Christmas shopping this year in our bookstore. So in conclusion, thank you for being members of the Situation Room. Thank you for shopping in our bookstore. That's a huge part of our general operating budget. And thank you for your year-end contribution to the Worldview Weekend Foundation. The website for the foundation is wvwfoundation.com. wvwfoundation.com. You can also give with a credit card through our phone number, 901-853-8792, 901-853-8792. You'll also find our mailing address on that website as well. Thank you again to all of you that have supported our work in 2016, and we look forward to continuing producing and distributing free radio, free television, and a free website, as well as free conferences in 2017. Thank you.
Faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brennan House.
Glad you're with us. Dr. John Whitcomb joins us today for another installment of Ask Dr. John. His website, by the way, is WhitcombMinistries.org, WhitcombMinistries.org. And you'll also find him on Facebook and Sermon Audio. And, of course, you'll hear him and can hear him each and every week on our website, WorldviewRadio.com, and through our app and on our Roku channel. You can hear the teaching of Dr. John Whitcomb. You'd also hear him on Sunday mornings on VCY America Radio Network at, I believe, 7:30. And so we sure do appreciate our friend Dr. John Whitcomb. Dr. John, how are you doing, my friend?
Praise the Lord, and just thankful for one more day to serve him and to see something of his work in other people's lives in the circle around us as God provides and guides and protects us 1 hour, one moment at a time.
Absolutely. Isn't that the truth? All right, Dr. John, I don't know what happened with email today. I normally get questions that we've compiled all together with the help of your assistant, and I don't have them from him. So I'm going to have you, until he at least emails them maybe real quick, have you read the first question and then answer it for us.
Yes. The first question, what was involved in Christ coming into the world 2,000 years ago, that first Christmas? we celebrate Christmas. Millions of people celebrate Christmas, but sad to say, many do not understand what it means, what it really happened. And so we turn to God's infallible, inerrant word for the answer. Listen to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 35. Of course, now Mary, the virgin, who was espoused to Joseph, was amazed and almost terrified when God said that you'd be become a mother. As a virgin, you'll be a mother. And this child that's going to be born to you, he said, don't be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. This is Luke chapter 1, verse 31. Behold, you will come, conceive in your womb and bear a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I'm a virgin? My, this is the first time in the history of the world that anything like this is going to happen. But the question is, what did happen? Now listen to verse 35. We're in Luke chapter 1, verse 35. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. That's the third person of the Godhead. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. Now you see here, we find an infinite miracle that from this woman would come the Messiah without inheriting her sin nature. He would be totally identified genetically through her back to Nathan, the son of David, and 1,000 years earlier. And so he would be qualified, you see, to be the incarnate Son of God, taking upon himself a human nature without the sin, identified through Mary back to David. And I say, well, now, wait a minute here. What's going on? Well, this gets a little complicated, friends, but listen carefully now. Joseph had the right to the throne of David, except for this, that his line had been cursed. So that even though he was a son of Solomon, back to David, he was in the cursed line. Now, therefore, Jesus had to be adopted by Joseph, not begotten, but adopted. And this is the only time in history that a man adopted a son that had no other human father. Isn't that astounding? He adopted the baby Jesus without passing to him his sin nature, the curse. And so Jesus inherited the kingdom that was promised by God through David and Solomon, and his line, the line of Jesus, now through Mary, goes back to Nathan, another son of David, according to Luke 3:31 and Zechariah 12:12. And I say, thank you, Lord, for this marvelous work whereby your one and only son became a 100% human being without sin, but a genuine member of the human race, Son of Man. And I say thank you, God, for the true message of that first Christmas 2,000 years ago.
That's the voice of Dr. John Whitcomb, and every couple of weeks we have him on for what we call Ask Dr. John. He and I have now done over 100 programs together, 100 episodes of Ask Dr. John. By the way, they're all archived in the Situation Room. It's situationroom.net, situationroom.net. So they're all archived. I would think maybe if you're someone that works out or walks a treadmill or walks, maybe you don't even walk on a treadmill. Maybe you do. Maybe you just walk in your neighborhood. You take the dog for a walk. Your drive to work, your drive home from work. These would be great opportunities to listen to these episodes of Dr. John 100. over 100 episodes of Ask Dr. John. Can you imagine the seminary equivalent education you're getting? And those are all archived in the Situation Room. All you got to do is go to situationroom.net, type in Ask Dr. John, and watch all these programs pop up. And again, if you want to be a member, you can join at situationroom.net/join, situationroom.net/join. Also, if you go into our bookstore, you can actually buy a Situation Room gift card and give that to somebody on Christmas morning and say, look, here's a card that will allow you to have access for one whole year to over $110,000 in ebooks, audiobooks, transcripts, Bible software programs, TV shows, conference DVDs. It's amazing. I think what we've built here, I've worked very hard to do it and do it at quality and broadcast quality production. Nothing to be ashamed of at all, folks. And that's the way we want to do things, with excellence. And so you can give this a gift as a gift card if you want. And you'll find the ability to purchase that gift card on our website in our bookstore at wvwtv.com/bookstore. wvwtv.com/bookstore. But all 100 episodes plus over 100 episodes of Ask Dr. John available in the Situation Room. Well, Dr. John, what's our next question from our listeners?
Yes. Now, this is another hard one. In what sense did Christ empty himself when he came to the earth? Now, this is Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. Listen carefully. Have this attitude in yourselves. This is Philippians 2, 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself to become by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now you say, now wait a minute. What do you mean when Jesus came into the world, he emptied himself? Well, obviously, friends, as he says over and over and over again, he is God. He's the second person of the Godhead. He had to be in order to pay an infinite price on the cross for our sins. And I say, well, thank you, Father. I just can't even grasp this, that the God who created the whole universe, that's Jesus, remember John 1:1-3, came to this planet, became a member of the human race. My, what he had to empty himself of, not his deity. Otherwise, of course, his death on the cross would not have accomplished God's plan for our redemption. He didn't empty himself of his deity, but of the independent exercise of his divine attributes, such as power, wisdom. In other words, friends, listen carefully. Every miracle that Jesus performed, he did by the direction and enablement of God his Father and the Holy Spirit. Now, what about wisdom? Well, Jesus said he didn't know everything during the days of his flesh. You say, what do you mean? Now, listen to this one. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. You know, the disciples were desperately anxious to know, when are you coming? When is the second coming? And Jesus said in Matthew 24:36, but of that day and hour no one knows. Now listen, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Now did you notice something special there? Jesus puts himself not only above all human beings, but even above angels. See that? No one knows, that's no human, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. My. So Jesus says, I don't know the day of my second coming. My Father knows. Now, be careful here, friends. After Jesus rose from the dead, he knew everything, of course, now, at the right hand of the Father. But during the days of his flesh, while he was on this earth in a non-glorified body, when he did not exercise independently, his divine attributes, that is why and how he emptied himself praise God for that incarnation of our Savior for our redemption. Praise God.
Mm. Dr. John Whitcomb and the program, we give it its own name. Yeah, it's Worldview Radio, but we give him his own program name because he deserves it, and we call it Ask Dr. John. And you can ask Dr. John simply by emailing in your question, info@worldviewweekend.com. And in our next broadcast, we'll endeavor to answer your question. Again, simply email us your question, info@worldviewweekend.com. Please put in the subject line, Ask Dr. John. Very important that you put in the subject line, Ask Dr. John, because I get hundreds and hundreds of emails in a given day or week, thousands in a week, and I can't really sort through them all unless you put in the title, Ask Dr. John. That allows me to find those very quickly, forward them on to Paul. Paul then takes them and puts them together for Dr. John, and we're off to the races. So info@worldviewweekend.com, subject line, Ask Dr. John, include your question, and we'll endeavor to answer that in our next broadcast together. By the way, we're also having many of these programs and continue to work on having many of our programs transcribed and by a transcription service out of Los Angeles, and then they give it back to us, and then we dump it into worldviewpedia.com, and then you can use our powerful search engine, our Bible software program, to answer questions, have your theological, doctrinal, worldview, philosophical questions answered through worldviewpedia.com. We have so many things going on. Someone said the other day, you know what the deal is, Brandon, you got so many things going, sometimes people have a hard time understanding what it is you offer. And I understand that, but that's just the cross we'll have to bear, I guess. So their suggestion was maybe mention more often what you do have available. Well, worldviewpedia.com is one of them. And the beautiful thing about worldviewpedia.com is it's automatically part of your membership at situationroom.net. But yeah, we like to take these kind of programs, have them transcribed, and add them into our digital database and library and Bible software program. So we're making sure that the resources we have available to us, that these kind of programs are distributed in many platforms in many ways. We'll be right back. Hello, I'm Brandon House. Did you know that hardly a week goes by where we're not contacted by an internet advertising company wanting to bring us on as one of their clients and offer advertising on our websites and pay us for it? I don't know about you, but I hate going to websites that are loaded with all the pop-up ads. We don't want our website cluttered with that kind of outside promotion. And so I don't do that, even though we are continually having money offered to us for the real estate positions on our website. Did you also know that we've been offered as much as $3,000 to send one email alert to our big database advertising various products? Yeah, we could make $3,000 regularly with the push of a button by sending out advertising for secular companies. Again, I've refused to do that. The bottom line is, we are trying to respect our listeners and our viewers, and we're not looking to be turned into some billboard for outside secular companies selling their products and resources. But yet at the same time, we have to generate the revenue to pay for all of our operating expenses, the TV shows, the radio shows, the bandwidth, the computer servers, the computer techs, the app for TV and radio, the free Roku channel. And so I want to thank you for supporting our ministry by either shopping in our bookstore, contributing to the foundation, or being a Situation Room member. You can join the Situation Room at situationroom.net/join. You can shop in our bookstore at wvwtv.com/bookstore. And you can contribute with a tax-deductible contribution to our Worldview Weekend Foundation at wvwfoundation.com. These are the three ways you can support us. And these are the ways that we're guaranteeing you that we will not become one of those websites that's loaded with pop-up ads and irritating videos that play promoting some goofy company. So thank you for supporting our work through the Worldview Weekend Foundation, the Situation Room, or by shopping in our Worldview Weekend bookstore. Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Weekend Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com. Again, my guest is Dr. John Whitcomb. By the way, don't forget about the Branson Worldview Weekend Fast coming up. Lots of new speakers this year. You have to check it out. I mean, it's a vast variety of new speakers, 100% new material. And how can it not be when there are new speakers, other than Sharam Hadian, who we're bringing back by popular demand. And you'll find all the details on that at worldviewweekend.com/Branson. worldviewweekend.com/Branson. It's a one in a kind, really, quite frankly, kind of a conference. There's just not a lot like this anymore. Just a good old Bible teaching, Bible conference, and many people love it because it's Friday night, all day Saturday, half day Sunday. It's in the beautiful rolling hills of the Ozarks. Some of you come in a day or two early. You enjoy sight and sound theater and what it has to offer. And boy, do they do quite the production at the Sight and Sound Theater. And you can come in and see whatever show it is they are showing at the time. And you also get to be with like-minded Christians. That's another thing people really like about our Branson Worldview Weekend, is they are with like-minded Christians. And some of you guys have become friends on our Facebook page, and then you get to meet each other in person, and you meet up every year in Branson. So again, if you want to check out the dates, April 28, 29, and 30, and who's speaking, you can find all in the hotels, a family-friendly hotel owned by a family, the Myers family. They're Christians, and their hotels are, it's pretty clear when you walk in the door, this is a family that are believers with a secular business, but they're believers. There's no pay-per-view movies in the room as far as the bad movies. It's very obvious what the hotel you're staying at. We've worked with them now. This will be our 14th year to work with them. All the hotel information is there. The restaurants that you could eat at that we recommend in the area during the breaks and dinner time. So it's all very, very easy. We also have concession stands in the big theater that we rent. So you can walk out during the breaks and take advantage of that as well. So it's a great weekend, and we have lots and lots of people who come back year after year. People come from 36 states just one year. One year, that was a couple years ago. I didn't even count up last year. But if you'd like to join us, all the details, wvwtv.com/Branson, wvwtv.com/Branson, and party seating if you register by February 21st. That means just upfront party seating. Dr. John Whitcomb is our guest. His website is whitcombministries.org, whitcombministries.org. Excuse me, allergies. All right, Dr. John, what's our next question?
Yes. What does 2 Corinthians 8:9 mean about Christ living in poverty? Listen to this verse. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. What does that mean? Well, that he became poor. The Son of God, the creator of the universe, became poor. Well, friends, here's the shocker. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, I'm amazed at this. Listen. Jesus said, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests. But what? The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. In other words, Jesus didn't have any permanent dwelling place, like many people, most people perhaps have, a home to live in night and day. He was preaching, traveling, teaching everywhere, every day, and it was just an exhausting experience, I'm sure, for those apostles following him everywhere he went. And so the only exception, really, it seems, is just east of Jerusalem, there's a little town called Bethany, where Jesus and his disciples were welcomed in the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. You remember in John 11, verses 1 and following, how he raised Lazarus from the dead and dealt graciously with Mary and Martha, his sisters. So that is something that is something for me to ponder too. Do I have a relatively permanent resting place, a bed at night to sleep in? Jesus didn't. And I say, I can't fathom that the Son of God who created the universe wouldn't even have a place to sleep as a permanent home on this earth during his years with us. Praise God for his mercy.
All right. What's the next one, Dr. John? You ready for the next question, Dr. John?
Yes. All right. Someone said, I heard you teach on the radio about theophanies in the Old Testament. Theophanies, T-H-E-O-P-H-A-N-I-E-S. That means God's appearance. Can you explain more about this? Now, friends, in the Old Testament, we have over and over again expressions like this. The angel of the Lord said this, said that to this person and that person. And we say, well, you say, well, that's an angel. No, no. The original word means messenger. And in many of those cases, it was the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who appeared to people from time to time, taught them things, led them, guided them, protected them. And I say, well, that's amazing. You remember in Genesis 16, Hagar, Sarai's maid, was sent out of the house and wandering around. She was welcomed and greeted by the angel of the Lord. And the same thing happened to her later on when she had her child in Genesis 21:17. And of course, one of the most spectacular times in the Old Testament was in Genesis 32, 24 and following, where Jacob was found himself wrestling with a man, a man, and he discovered to his amazement that this was not just a man, it was God himself. I have seen the face of God, Peniel. And I say, well, now, Lord, how can we understand these appearances, these theophanies? Well, it shows that Jesus Christ didn't begin dealing with men personally at his incarnation 2,000 years ago, but from the beginning of the world, especially in these instances in the lifetime of Abraham, he appeared from time to time looking like, speaking like a man, but he was the messenger of God the Father. Now, thank God, dear friends, that those theophanies, those appearances, have been totally, totally realized, fulfilled in the incarnation of God's Son, so that when he became a permanent member of the human race, it wasn't just occasional appearances to people here and there, now and then. He is with us moment by moment now as the Son of God at the right hand of the Father in heaven, through the Holy Spirit. And I say, thank you, God, for these things that are not just appearances, but a permanent relationship now that we have by faith in him. And I say, thank you, Lord, that Christ is now in us and we are in him forever.
Amen to that. Dr. John Whitcomb is the voice you're hearing, and his website is whitcombministries.org, whitcombministries.org. You can find many of his books, his DVDs. He's written many, many books, including the famous one over 60 years ago with Dr. Henry Morris, The Genesis Flood. So you'll find a lot of his books and DVDs there at whitcombministries.org. What's our next question from one of our listeners, Dr. John?
As we enter the Christmas season, how can we combat the commercialization of the holiday? What does that mean, commercialization? Well, it's not exaggerating to say the vast majority of stores and restaurants are commercializing Christmas. they talk about Christmas and have maybe some Christmas decorations and things like that, and to attract people to come and buy this or that or something else. And they're in it for what? The money. Now, friends, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't come into the world and die on a cross for us to have these kinds of things. God is so gracious, yes. But what do we do about this situation? Everywhere we go, we see this. Some stores, of course, don't even want to recognize Christmas at all. Now, that's the issue. You can't change anything like that in mass, you see. You can't change the government. You can't change companies, restaurants, stores. But what you can do is to show your discernment by voting for or supporting or becoming involved in those ministries and those systems that most honor God and His Word. You go to a store and you see here's a representative of the Salvation Army wants thank you, Lord. Here's a store that really wants and allows for somebody to have a Christian witness of some sort at the door. I prefer to identify with, do my business with a store like that, wouldn't you, than one that totally rejects the gospel, will not allow it to be represented. And I say, well, Lord, I can't change all these things, but I can at least identify to some extent with those ministries, I shouldn't say ministries, those businesses, see, that are not ashamed of the name Jesus and the name Christ at Christmas. So I say, Lord, help me to just be very, very careful to do what I can within my limits to promote, to endorse, to support systems around the nation that are more God-honoring. And I say, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, even in a day like this, as Jesus warned us and the Apostle Paul told us, in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of themselves, and men will be more and more, humans will be more and more distant from God. So sad. Help us to be lights that shine in the darkness and support others who are, to some extent at least, honoring God and at Christmas time, God's own Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord.
Absolutely. Dr. John Whitcomb is, again, the voice you're hearing, and we call it Ask Dr. John here on Worldview Radio. And we come back, we'll continue to ask Dr. John the questions that you have sent in. And if you would like to send in a question, all you have to do is email us, info@worldviewweekend.com, info@worldviewweekend.com, and just include your question. Please put in the subject line, Ask Dr. John, if you would. Ask Dr. John, so we know how to sort those and then send them on to him. Again, info@worldviewweekend.com. We'll be back with more of Ask Dr. John. Hello, I'm Brandon House. Have you appreciated all of our free radio shows? How about our free television programs? How about our free app for iPhone, iPad, and Android? Or how about the free Worldview Weekend Roku channel? If you appreciate our broadcast ministries of radio and television, would you partner with us with a tax-deductible contribution to the Worldview Weekend Foundation? It's vital that we hear from you so we can continue to distribute free biblical radio and television programs. Your partnership through the Worldview Weekend Foundation is vital. Would you go to worldviewweekendfoundation.com right now and make a contribution? That's worldviewweekendfoundation.com. The shorter URL is wvwfoundation.com. That's wvwfoundation.com. If you prefer to send a check, you'll find our mailing address there on that website at wvwfoundation.com. You can also give with a credit card over the phone through our secure voicemail line, which is 901-853-8792. That's 901-853-8792. Thank you. Welcome back. Worldview Radio, our website, worldviewradio.com. If you would like to follow us on Twitter, our handle is @WVWOnline, @WVWOnline. If you would like to sign up to receive our free text messages, I know, we haven't sent out a text message yet. So if any of you are wondering, did you sign up for it, and if you did, you're not getting one, it's because I have not sent one out. We're not looking to send them out unless it's important information, and soon we will do that. I just haven't had the time to deal with it as of late. But we do want to have a communication system with you. There seems to be more and more restrictions coming in to places like Facebook and Twitter, and of course emails often get put into spam or blacklisted by providers. So we need to have a way to be able to communicate and reach out to you, and so we're setting up multiple platforms, and one of them is by your being able to receive a text notice from us. Again, we've been promoting that for about a month or more now and have not even sent one out. So that shows you that we're not going to just be abusing this. It'll be when we have important information we think you need to know, maybe a link to a very important TV show or radio show. But it also, as I said, gives us a backup way to communicate with you should some of these systems start shutting down more conservative groups. And there's more talk of this happening even today. I'm seeing more talk of shutting down conservative groups that are considered fake news. You know, I wonder how many of the things that we talk about related to Islam and other issues, the media or the social media sites would consider to be fake when they're not fake at all. They're highly documented. So we, again, feel the need to set up our own system to be independent and not controlled by these people or censored by these people in any way. So if you'd like to be on our text alert system, all you have to do is text the word worldview, one word, worldview, to 480-418-1411. That's 480-418-1411. I'll give it one more time, 480-418-1411. Let me also remind you, we have a free Worldview Weekend rallies coming up in multiple cities, and that's if you help us promote. And if you take some ownership and help us promote and get out the word, we'll gladly come and host these free one-night Worldview Weekend rallies. And you can find out more about them by simply going to the website, worldviewweekend.com/conferences, worldviewweekend.com/conferences. The shorter URL is wvwtv.com/conferences. That's the shorter URL to poke into a phone. I like the shorter URLs when I'm trying to get something on a smartphone. wvwtv.com/conferences. And help us get out the word about the Tampa, Florida Worldview Weekend Rally, January 28th. Myself and Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Orlando, Florida, January 29th. Atlanta, Georgia, February 2nd. Birmingham, Alabama, February 3rd. And then in March, we're on to Rogers, Arkansas, Wichita, Kansas, Oklahoma City, Dallas, Houston. And then we're off to, in April, Des Moines, Sioux Falls, La Crosse, Green Bay. Just booked the facility today for Green Bay. New facility, not where we were last year. Better facility, I think. And then Milwaukee. I booked that facility yesterday, April 12th. All those details at wvwtv.com/conferences. They're free. They're one night. But you do need to register because in some of these cities, we are filling to capacity, and we need to know how many chairs to put out and be ready for you. wvwtv.com/conferences. If you do not order up free quantities of the magazine, tweet about it, put it on Facebook, email it to your friends, and we don't see good registrations, we'll just cancel them. And I'll stay here and do the things that we do here that go global. I don't think that's going to happen in cities like Des Moines and Sioux Falls and La Crosse and Green Bay and Milwaukee. I am a little worried about Tampa and Orlando and Atlanta and Birmingham, Rogers, Arkansas. Whenever we get into the southern or the Bible Belt states, that's when I get a little nervous. People often say, well, why don't you come to this state or that state? Because, frankly, some of these states, like the Bible Belt, are just really pathetically hard to hold Bible conferences or any kind of biblical worldview conferences. I'm sorry. It's just the way it is. People are mostly interested in sports and hunting and fishing and golf. It's the Bible Belt. But they're really not interested in most of these things. I have no idea. We have found the real Bible Belt tends to be the Midwest, to be honest with you. That's where we find the most people attending biblical worldview type conferences. So I'm not really worried about our Midwestern states, but I am a little concerned whether or not we can get enough people that really want us to come to Tampa and Orlando. Now, we packed it out one night in Orlando and in Tampa, but it's been a few years. So if you want to actually see Tampa, Orlando, and Atlanta, and Birmingham, and Rogers, Arkansas come to pass, we're going to need you to take some ownership, order up some free magazines, distribute it, talk it up. And, of course, you can order free quantities of the magazine, our new 48-page full-color digest, free of charge. So we'll ship it to you free of charge, give you the free magazines. All you got to do is pass them out, say, hey, let's go to this. And the free digest can be ordered at wvwtv.com/digest, wvwtv.com/digest. tv.com/digest. Dr. John, what's our next question?
Yes. This is a hard one. In fact, terrifying. The question is this. Were Ananias and Sapphira truly saved? You say, who were they? Listen to Acts chapter 5, verse 1. It says, but a certain man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself with his wife's full knowledge, and bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. And he said, now what were they doing here? Well, at the end of the previous chapter, we find out that God had a wonderfully gracious provision, you see, for the poverty-stricken Christians in Jerusalem who had been excommunicated, disinherited by families and so forth, and they were in tremendous need. Remember, the Apostle Paul, later on in the book of Acts, brought a huge offering from the Gentile Christian churches to support the poor saints of Jerusalem. So here's one at the end of chapter 5 by the name of Barnabas. And so he was a Levite, and he owned a tract of land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. In other words, he was sacrificially supporting the poor saints of Jerusalem. Now, so what happened with Ananias and Sapphira? They did the same thing, right? But wait a minute. They kept back some of the price for themselves. And bringing it, a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. And he is saying, of course, this is everything I have. Now, of course, he didn't have to give everything. But he lied to God. That's the challenge. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, does it not remain your own? After it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have to conceive this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. My. And as he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last. He died right on the spot. And great fear came upon all who heard of it. And the young men arose and covered him up, and after carrying him out, they buried him. There elapsed an interval of about 3 hours, and his wife came in. Here comes Sapphira now, not knowing what had happened to her husband. Peter responded to her, tell me whether you sold this land for such and such a gap price. She said, yes, that was the price. A blatant lie. And Peter said to her, why is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit, that's the Spirit of the Lord, to the test? Behold, the feet of those who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out as well. And she fell immediately at his feet and breathed her last. She died. And the young men came and found her dead and carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Now listen carefully. And great fear came upon the whole church, the believers throughout Jerusalem, and all who heard these things. Why did great fear come upon them? Because, dear friends, they realized that these were Christians. Now that's the question, you see. Were they truly saved? Yes, because it was Christians throughout Jerusalem who were terrified. If everybody knew that Ananias and Sapphira weren't even believers, there would be no fear among Christians when unbelievers were judged by God in such a way as that. Now, you say, now, wait a minute. You mean that God would kill a Christian couple? Well, listen, dear friends. In the early church, now here's the point. Miraculous things happened that don't happen today at this phase of church history. What do you mean? Well, take, for example, 1 Corinthians 11:30. My, listen to this one. In the early church, God insisted that a communion service be performed the bread and the cup, you remember, and the Lord's Supper in a way that honors God. Yes. And so he said, take this cup and drink it in remembrance of me, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. This is a powerful Christian message of who Jesus is, what he did when he died on the cross. And so he says, therefore, whoever eats the bread and the cup, drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. That's verse 27. We're in 1 Corinthians 11:27. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks, judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. That's the church, the body of Christ. Now, are you ready for this? For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. What do you mean sleep? That means die. That's a word for a believer dying, going to sleep in physical death. Now, these, obviously, likewise, were believers who had drastically done what? Distorted God's will and word and plan and purpose for the church, and therefore they died. I say, Lord, if today all Christians who did these kinds of bad things were judged physically, visibly, we'd be terrified by the thud of falling bodies in our churches, in our homes. And I say, Lord, be merciful to us that we might honor you and do your will for your glory according to your word. And that prayer we offer in Jesus' gracious name. Amen.
Dr. John Whitcomb and his website, WhitcombMinistries.org. WhitcombMinistries.org. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll ask Dr. John some more questions that you have sent in. And again, if you want to get in your questions, all you got to do is simply email them to us, info@worldviewweekend.com, and we'll have them ready for the next broadcast, Lord willing. info@worldviewweekend.com. I also remind you to stay tuned for Crosstalk coming up at the top of the hour. It's America's original Christian talk program since the 1970s. And of course, if for some reason you're listening to this tape delayed, streaming it the next day, which many of you do, you can listen to Crosstalk on our website at worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com, one of the many outstanding programs we carry. And we're thankful for all our broadcast partners, Dr. Whitcomb, Crosstalk, Jimmy DeYoung, Mike Abendroth, Justin Peters. The list goes on and on. Worldviewradio.com. We'll be right back. Have you and your family made common sense preparations? Here's an audio clip of Ted Koppel, who spent 2 years researching the threat to America's power grid.
What I'm talking about is a cyber attack against infrastructure. A cyber attack that could affect tens of millions of people for a period of months, if not longer.
Based on your reporting, it seems clear from your book that the national security officials believe that this is a matter of when and not if.
Exactly. In fact, that's a line that a man I came to know when I was embedded with the U.S. forces during the invasion of Iraq, he is now the commander of CENTCOM, four-star general Lloyd Austin, who said exactly that. It's not a question of if, it's only a question of when.
Military experts and national security experts tell us that our greatest threat is the vulnerability of our power grid. Here's James Woolsey, former director of the CIA.
And Ambassador, do you think that the power plants across the country have the protection that they need?
No, absolutely not.
And you were the head of the CIA. Our
yes.
enemies know all this, correct?
I'm afraid they do. The Russians have told us that they, back in the early 90s, told the North Koreans a great deal about how to use an electromagnetic pulse detonation.
After spending 2 years researching the threat to our power grid, what is Ted Koppel doing? Listen and he'll tell you.
It is frightening enough that my wife and I decided we were going to buy enough freeze-dried food for all of our kids and their kids.
How long would it be before major American cities with just-in-time inventory ran out of food? Ted Koppel tells us what would happen to Manhattan.
You're talking about a community of, what, 8 million people? The food in a place like Manhattan would run out in a couple of days. New York State has several million MREs, meals ready to eat. But when you take several million and you divide it by 8 million, you're talking about maybe a 2 or 3 day food supply. Mm. What happens on day four?
Yeah.
So do you think your family should make some common sense preparations? Listen to this audio clip by Ted Koppel on the importance of being prepared.
But to have an extra supply of food and water, to be able to take care of your family and to know that you're not dependent upon government sort of running to the rescue, I think that can actually be quite healthy.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. I began making preparations in 2007 for my family because I was aware way back then of the threat to our national power grid. Recently, I've been sharing with you the plans that I've been laying since 2007, common sense plans. And now, in our bookstore at wvwtv.com/bookstore, you can see some of the very items and things I'm using to have a common sense preparation plan. You can visit our website, wvwtv.com/bookstore, to find out about these resources. Not only are you benefiting your family, but when you purchase this through our bookstore, you're supporting our ministry, our broadcast and radio and television and conference ministry. Or you can purchase these items somewhere else. It's totally up to you. Either way, I suggest your family have a common sense preparation plan.
My sense of it, though, is we're better off preparing. I mean, let's say we prepare for something that doesn't happen. Then we will at least be prepared for any other disaster that comes along. But I must tell you, after spending almost 2 years on this, I'm convinced that at some point or another, it's going to happen.
All right, welcome back. Let me remind you of our bookstore at wvwtv.com/bookstore. wvwtv.com/bookstore. It actually says shopping on there because we do more than just books now. And some wonderful things that you'll find in there that are, some of them are, I think, important. There are, some of them are, you know, items that would help you in a crisis or emergency. And some of them are just flat out fun. And the one my kids, of course, and all their friends love is the one that we're offering and have been. This is hand crank generator. You hold it in your hand, you hook it to your smartphone, and you can crank it and get your battery going. And my teenagers' friends all love that one. They all are wanting to make sure their parents know about that as Christmas comes up. So I really planned on it being for something for emergencies, but all the kids seem to have the same problem. Their smartphones die on them, and they're not anywhere to plug one in. And, you know, these kids carry backpacks with them everywhere. You notice that? And they like to throw these things in their backpacks, and they have their bottled water and their different things in there. They all walk around with backpacks, and they have their different things they like to have, and this is one of them they want thrown in their backpack. They're out somewhere, and their cell phone dies. They can crank it up, get some power, and it's not a bad thing, because if you're a parent wanting to get a hold of your child, I don't know about you, but I always say, is your cell phone charged before they're leaving? Is it charged? Well, if you're leaving in 30 minutes, you might want to go plug that thing in and make sure it's charged. They can throw one of these in their car or backpack and always keep it charged, even if they need to charge it real quick just to call you and tell you what's up. So anyway, you'll find some cool things in our bookstore at wvwtv.com this time of year. Some of them make great gifts, I think, as well. wvwtv.com/bookstore. We appreciate your checking out our bookstore. Big way to help us in what we're doing. Dr. John Whitcomb, as I said, is our guest. His website, whitcombministries.org. Dr. John, what's our next question that someone has sent in?
Yes. This is an interesting one. In fact, fascinating. How did the Native Americans get to North and South America following the Genesis flood? My. Well, the answer is the Ice Age, which lasted perhaps 600 years after the flood ended, in which time period, as we now know more than ever before, enormous masses of ocean water were locked up in the form of ice in the northern North Pole area, and of course Antarctica, and for hundreds of years, the continents, therefore, and the islands of the ocean were available for people to walk. Now today you can't walk from Siberia across to Alaska, but in those early centuries after the flood, so much water was locked up in ice that the land mass was available for people to walk right across from what is today Siberia, right over to Alaska, and populate those parts of the world. And I say, well, that's amazing that during that period, that unique period, those kinds of things were happening. Now, listen, you say, well, where does the Bible talk about this ice age? Are you ready for this? Job 37. Listen carefully. Now, of course, Job, living down in the area of the Holy Land, which is today the eastern part of the Mediterranean, which is semi-tropical, said this, Job 37:10. From the breath of God, ice is made. Expanse of the waters is frozen, and with moisture he loads the thick cloud and disperses the cloud of his lightning. And listen to the next verse, Job 38:22. Have you entered the storehouses of the snow? Or have you seen the storehouses of the hail? And I say, no, wait a minute. What is this snow talk that he's talking about? Okay, Job 38:20. The 29. From whose womb has come the ice and the frost of heaven? Who has given it birth? Water becomes hard like stone, and the surface of the deep is imprisoned. Well, that's not true today in the Holy Land areas. But after the flood, for hundreds of years, there was an enormous mass of ice that enabled people and animals to migrate into areas that now would be more difficult to reach. And I say, well, thank you, Lord, for this. We have several people who specialized in the study of the Ice Age, especially Dr. Michael Ord, O-A-R-D, and others who've now discovered some amazing things about the transition from the flood to the present time. And I say, well, thank you, Lord, for these little hints that there were drastic changes in this world, not millions of years ago, but just a few thousand. Thank you, God.
All right, Dr. John, do we have any more?
One more question. How much education should a pastor have? Well, friends, we read in 2 Timothy 3 that you need to do what? You need to take advantage of God's word. Now, many people around the world in Africa, Asia, don't have wonderful theological seminaries and Christian schools. But wait a minute. Paul said to Timothy, you continue in the things you've learned and become convinced of knowing from whom you've learned them, that from a childhood you've known those sacred scriptures which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. Now listen, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped to every good work. You don't have to go to a theological seminary, friends. That's nice if it's a God-honoring school. But you have God's word. Master the Holy Scriptures as God gives you opportunity. And I say, well, thank you, Lord. Remember 2 Timothy 2, 1-2 makes that point. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things which you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And I'm always amazed, and with this I'll conclude. In the book of Acts, we're told of a special church at Berea. What did they do? It says that they were so determined.
Oh, we're out of time. We'll finish it up on the next broadcast together, Dr. John. Take care, folks.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, VCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of worldviewweekend.com and is heard weekdays on VCY America.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Justin Peters. One of the great blessings and pleasant surprises of my ministry of traveling and preaching around the world is how many people will walk up to me and tell me that they listen to my radio program on Worldview Weekend's website. I have had people in Canada, Great Britain, Norway, Australia, India, Brazil, and Uganda tell me that they listen to my programs. Last year, I was preaching in a small church in the Philippines, and a lady walked up to me and with tears in her eyes thanked me for my teaching on Worldview Weekend. Little could I have imagined 5 years ago when I first met Brannon how God in His gracious providence would expand this ministry to which He has entrusted me through the ministry of Worldview Weekend. Anyone who knows Brannon knows that he is a hard worker if there ever was one. But what many may not realize is the tremendous expenses that are required to maintain the 24/7 streaming radio, the WVW app, Roku, purchase and maintain television cameras and all the equipment that goes along with that, not to mention the high cost of renting the hotel ballrooms at which he hosts his conferences, which are free. Additionally, Brannon carries my program along with Mike Abendroth, Chris Pinto, Usama Dakdok, Susan Heck, and all the others for free. People all over the world are being helped by the ministry of Worldview Weekend. No, God does not need Brannon, nor me, nor you, nor any of us, but He does graciously choose to use us both to teach sound doctrine and refute those who contradict it, per Titus 1:9. If you are able to do so, please consider financially supporting this worthwhile ministry with your tax-deductible gift. You may donate by sending a check to Worldview Weekend Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee, 38027. You may also give by credit card by calling 901-853-8792. Or, if you prefer to donate online, please go to wvwfoundation.com. On behalf of all of us who partner with Brannon in this work, we sincerely thank you.